Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, November the 21st. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, an animal sanctuary boss fears it could go under if she has to pay thousands for more bird flu tests. With less than 5 weeks till Christmas, a tree grower in Kent says his have done well despite the dry summer and mild autumn. And find out what the Gillingham players have been getting up to as part of some team bonding. But first, a Faversham couple have spoken to the podcast about their decision to pull their children out of school and travel the world. James and Liberty Carew have decided to swap their traditional 9-to-5 jobs for real world experiences across the globe. The pair and their three boys are currently in Malaysia.
When we were in the UK, it just felt like we were just living to work. Now it feels like we are just living.
We both like slowed down really by having Alexander, and especially myself not going to work because I was on maternity leave with him. Our whole work life balance and our whole family dynamic, it just completely changed for the better. We didn't want to go back to how it was before, and actually what would be the best way to move forward. And we thought actually showing the children the world was the best way to do that, because we felt like they weren't getting that experience from school. In traditional primary school in the UK, there's so much sitting.
Yeah.
Just naturally from the way that the system is, it's through no fault, it's nobody's fault, but it's just, that's the way it is. A lot of learning has to be evidenced in books and written, and actually we're trying to move away from that and not have to be writing everything all the time. But there was a lot of fear.
Yeah.
Like, especially just giving up my career, and we're very nervous. I was especially nervous as well about just changing everything. But then once you come away, you realise that actually your home and your family, when you're together, that is your home.
Yeah. We're kind of combining our skills that we have to launch our own world schooling platform. It's something that's come up numerous times when we've been speaking to other families on our travels, that they find it quite difficult to kind of deliver education to their children. It follows the international baccalaureate curriculum as well. So
I think as a teacher, I really feel like it's important for other people to know that you do have another choice. You don't have to just send your children to mainstream school and like maintain that. Yes, that's a good path for lots of people, but it doesn't have to be the only part.
Thanks so much to James and Liberty for chatting to us. Now, so far, the family has travelled to Kenya and Mauritius, and they plan to head through Thailand and the rest of Southeast Asia. Although they do intend to come back to Kent one day, they hope to travel for several years. You can let us know what you think. Do you think it's a good idea, or would you worry about children not being in school in England? You can let us know by commenting on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man who threatened to blow up Sittingbourne Police Station has been jailed. The building had to be evacuated after he made a 999 call in December last year, and searches were carried out. 29-year-old Wade Grant from Crown Key Lane in the town has been locked up for 18 months. Bomb disposal experts have been called to a Kent village after a suspected wartime device was found under a patio. A cordon was put in place following the discovery on Top Dartford Road in Hextable yesterday. It's understood the item was removed to be safely disposed of. Police have seized a knuckle duster from a man in Sheerness during a crackdown on retail crime across North Kent. The 44-year-old was among 38 people arrested as part of a week-long operation across Gravesham, Dartford, Medway and Swale. Officers visited high streets and shopping centres. 26 people were charged in total with offences including robbery, criminal damage and shoplifting. Two guinea pigs have died after a fire broke out in the bedroom of a house in Sevenoaks. Crews were called to Borshire Close at around 4 yesterday afternoon and spent more than 2 hours tackling the flames. We're told no one was hurt, but it's unclear yet how the fire started. And 4 fire engines and the Coast Guard have been called after a boat caught alight on Sheppey. Again, no one was hurt when the blaze broke out near South Street in Queenborough yesterday afternoon, but crews spent more than 4 hours at the scene. Now, the owner owner of a Kent animal sanctuary hit by bird flu fears she may have to find £16,000 to have other animals there tested for the virus. More than 60 birds at Happy Pants Ranch in Newington near Sittingbourne had to be culled at the end of last month. Experts now say more than 40 pigs need to be checked as they could carry the illness. Amy James is the founder.
We're obviously a mixed species sanctuary. Obviously, if we were just a lot of these places that get hit from the avian flu are obviously commercial farms who usually specialise in just turkeys or just chickens, just poultry. Or but obviously, because we're mixed species, there is a risk, even though it's a very low risk, as far as I understand it, that the avian flu can be passed on to mammals, certain mammals in particular, and pigs. Pigs have a very similar makeup to their system as humans, really. And of course, it can also be passed to humans. Again, very, very low risk of that, but it is possible. And I think with the pigs, they wouldn't die from it. It's not fatal like it is in the poultry, but they can carry it, basically. And often they don't show any signs of carrying it. And then, of course, they could, I suppose, potentially then pass it to a wild bird, and then that would transfer the contamination over. So I think that's why they're having to test the other species as well. And it has just been mammals as well that they wanted to test. So eventually, once all the testing is complete, it would be the pigs, goats, sheep, ferrets, dogs and horses that will have been tested.
I guess it kind of does make sense if they say they are potential carriers and they don't want it to spread. But you've had some pigs and some ferrets tested and they came back clear, yet they still want to test more animals. And we're talking dozens and dozens of animals, aren't we, that will be tested?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest group is the 40 odd pigs that we've got. Last week we had tested the three, what we call the vulnerable pigs, because two of them have got special needs, and the ferrets, because they were considered the most, like the highest risk, so they were the most urgent, because those three pigs particularly, because they free range around the sanctuary, they'd had most exposure to the birds and the ground that the birds had been walking on. That was quite a nerve-wracking wait, obviously, waiting to get the results back from that. Which I did get back yesterday, which obviously was amazing. The fact I did get these results back, I was so happy, because nobody would tell me what the consequences were if they did come back positive. And I've been reading all sorts of stuff online that, you know, sometimes they do cull other animals as well. Finding answers to things has been one of the most tricky things, to be honest. The pigs that they tested did come back positive. No, the results were positive, but negative, if you know what I mean. It was a positive thing that they came back negative. And to be honest, after that result, and especially after speaking with various members of APHA throughout the course of the last 2 weeks, I didn't think that they'd probably would go ahead with testing the other pigs, because it was, it's quite a big operation to test all 40 odd pigs. Because they live in like quite a large area of the woodland. So obviously catching them and, you know, keeping them safe while they get tested, you know, it's obviously going to be quite a big logistical effort. APHA did come in 2 weeks ago, and they had a plan already for the 40 odd pigs, where they were going to funnel them down separately. They were going to actually bring their own stone in and fencing so that they could create an area for the pigs to be tested safely, and they were going to budget for that. It was discussed that they would price it all up and send it to APHA. They've obviously done that and it's come back as too expensive. So now they've decided to pass the cost on to the charity, basically, which I just did not see coming at all. I can't actually still quite Believe it.
Thank you so much to Amy for chatting to me. We've been in touch with DEFRA and asked them for a comment.
Kent Online reports.
A care home in Gillingham has been placed into special measures after inspectors found leaders hadn't recognised or responded to abuse and neglect. Welcome House Leeser Court is home to around 16 people with mental health conditions. A report by the Care Quality Commission has revealed 8 regulation breaches. The regulators working with bosses to make sure improvements are made. Managers in Medway have reduced how much they expect to overspend by this financial year, but still say they're facing shortfalls of around £10 million. The council say they've been able to make savings and raise funds to meet nearly 6% of their target. However, forecasts for 2026 and 27 suggest the gap will increase to £25 million. Next up today, and villagers in Hadlow have told us that plans for hundreds of homes are going to take the soul out of their community. An application for 116 homes in a community car park on agricultural land in Court Lane has been submitted. It follows another application for 100 properties on the edge of the village. Well, reporter Ellie Hodgson has been chatting to Caroline Anderson, who founded Hadlow Opposes Mass Expansion or Home.
We don't have the infrastructure, amongst other things, bad traffic conditions. They have a lot of issues in this village that are going to be exacerbated by all of this.
So obviously traffic is one of those concerns. Can you tell me a few of the other concerns that are being raised by residents?
Yes, we have a flooding problem, especially on the Carpenters Lane site. We have flooding problem on the Court Lane, so we have a flooding problem, end of, like many other proposed sites in Kent. We're all saying the same thing. We've got a hose pipe ban, but we're planning to build 300-400 houses. Where are we going to get the water from? We don't have any places at the school. We don't have any nursery places. We don't have any dentist places. And we don't have any doctor places. We don't have any mother and baby groups if we do get single mums coming into the village. We're not opposed to building for people who need homes. We are opposed to building on Greenbelt. And we are opposed to building large houses that we don't need in this village. If we're going to build anything, we need to build social housing for people who really are homeless and need homes.
Can you tell me what it's like to sort of drive down here during sort of early mornings or, you know, rush hour in the evenings currently?
This is a very, very busy road. I live literally on this road. There's gridlock some days. Fire engine couldn't get through the other day because the bus couldn't get into the bus stop because someone was parked in the bus stop. And there was someone parked this side, so the fire engine was stuck. But there was something like 13,000 cars go through here every day.
And finally, how do you feel in general having to sort of contend with these planning applications? You know, emotionally, does it have any impact on you? I know you've been a resident for a long time.
Yes, I've been in this village 48 years. Yes, because I do feel that we have to expand. We have to accommodate low-cost housing. Affordable housing is not really an appropriate term for it in Kent because nothing's affordable. I've been in this village, I've seen it change. We can accommodate housing designed in the right way for targeting the right people. And we need the infrastructure. We need the developers to come in first with the infrastructure and the KCC to come in with some really visionary plans on how the traffic will be managed.
Elsewhere, it's feared plans for housing to the south of Canterbury could lead to more traffic on already congested roads. Council bosses have revised their draft local plan, which sets out where they suggest building thousands of new homes to meet local demand. It follows a decision to scrap the idea of developing land near the University of Kent in favour of fields south of Littlebourne Road. Residents are worried about the impact on the A257. The City Council are developing a bus-led strategy. A decision on plans for a new cafe and community centre in Margate have been deferred. An application had been submitted for the facilities near a seafront pool at Walpole Bay. Planning chiefs argued there's been no call for the development. They'll visit the site next month before making a final decision. And plans for a huge solar farm near a Roman fort in Kent have been recommended for approval. A company wants to put panels on land the size of 128 football pitches in Ash near Sandwich. not far from the historic site of Richborough. While more than 650 letters of objection have been submitted, Dover's planning committee will make a decision next week.
Kent Online reports.
A Medway man says a furniture company is holding a bed he ordered to ransom after being told it couldn't be delivered due to access issues. Harry Newman from Twiddle near Gillingham bought the king-size bed from NCF's Thurrock branch in August. He paid almost £2,000 for a frame, storage, mattress delivery and installation, but was then told it wouldn't fit. Well, the 31-year-old's offered to collect it himself, but that's been refused. NCF say they're unable to comment on individual cases. Bosses at a Kent Christmas tree farm say the quality on offer this year is better than ever. It follows general warnings. We could see gappy trees this year after growers battled low rainfall over the summer and then really mild temperatures in the autumn. Well, bosses at Hull Park Christmas Trees in Rolvenden near Ashford say they've largely missed the tough conditions. Kate's been speaking to Edward Barham, who's the owner.
Kent actually has been quite fortunate. Although 2025 has been a very dry year, the drought actually was north of here. Yes, we could have done with more rain. But the heavy weald and soils of the high weald, clay retains more moisture than most, and the occasional, just the occasional, nice shower, useful shower of rain, not just a wetting. You know, we had several sort of 20mm, 30mm drops of rain, which kept us going where those further north and on drier soils were less fortunate. So we've had a good growing year, and our trees are in fine order.
Did you have to take any special measures to sort of combat the drier than normal summer, or were the trees just happy to grow on their own?
Nothing you can realistically do. We can't irrigate our trees. I don't have water and pumping it's available, but we didn't need to. And our dropout from planted trees this year would be 2 or 3% that was going to happen anyway. It's only the young ones where they haven't got a developed root system that is really the problem. But once they get down in there, they're machine planted, which is a great advantage because the machine puts them in a constant depth. And that's the great advantage of machine planting trees. And then there's moisture in these wet soils.
Is it a pattern that you've seen over the last few years? Have you seen sort of drier summers, sort of more mild temperatures in autumn? Have you noticed that the conditions are getting challenging?
Of course, and we're all recognising that. I think the real cut comes in the autumn when we pray for a hard frost, which we had two nights ago. Yesterday morning, we woke up to completely white countryside, and it has the ability of sort of closing the tree down for Christmas. For the end of the year. Otherwise, it wonders, oh, shall I keep growing? It's nice and warm still. But to put it to bed, and then that makes the tree better for when we harvest it. So the cold weather in the autumn is something we really look forward to. And I think that gives the tree better needle retention properties.
But the quality at Hull Park Christmas trees this year is better than ever. Everybody's thriving.
Very standard. We try to grow a nice tree, and I want to proudly put my name to my trees. And yes, the quality is good, and the availability is good as well. So there's no particular problem. There are good trees available here.
And I believe that you're open for public sale now. You've been doing the corporate and sort of wholesale side of things, and then now they'll be on
for the public. Most of our trade by proportion and value is to the wholesale. So we're supplying specialist retailers and outlets, farm shops in the southeast of England with the trees they want on the day they want, the size and the quality. And that's our bread and butter business. But we do open in the nature of a factory outlet. We sell trees, reeds and stands and a cup of coffee while you wait, if you wish. And that really kicks off the last weekend of November. We're open today, but I would be quite surprised if anybody was trying to buy a retail tree from me just yet. Please leave it a little longer.
A former military fort on the River Medway has gone on the market for £50,000. Fort Darnett was built on an island in the 1870s to help protect the naval dockyard at Chatham. It was repurposed during the Second World War as an observation post and is going up for auction next month. Huge crowds turned out for Maidstone's Christmas light switch on last night. Rob and Numi were there from our sister radio station KMFM with the cast of the Hazlitt Theatre Panto. There was also live music music, dancing and games in Jubilee Square. You can see some fantastic pictures of the event by heading to Kent Online. Meantime, school children will be carrying lanterns through Dartford later as part of the town's annual Festival of Lights. They're leading a procession through the High Street, which will also include music and dance performances. This year's theme is Unity, Solidarity and Community. And finally, one of the UK's most popular toy brands has opened a new shop in Kent. The Playmobil at Ashford Designer Outlet is the company's first standalone store in the whole country. Bosses say it's up and running just in time for Christmas.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it turns out the Gillingham squad have been playing traitors as part of a bit of team building. They're doing challenges to win shields and trying to work out who's a faithful defender. Romeo Hutton has been chatting to us all about it.
At the moment we're playing traitors. You watch traitors on the...
You do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're playing traitors at the moment, so that's bringing everyone together a bit more, like little challenges to win shields and stuff, so...
Who's got the poker face?
I can't say any names. It's kind of hard because Lenny is...
He's good.
Yeah, but he's going to get voted out soon. Nelson's been a traitor, and...
You?
Connor Masterson. No, not me. Connor Masterson was a faithful, but he dug his own grave. So
no sympathy.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on because I never watched it, and then
yeah.
I went home and I just banged it out and yeah, just watched it all, and then I kind of saw how it worked, but everyone was going on about it before, so yeah, because we have like a card game which is called Wolf, which is kind of the same, but this is more of a slow one, so it's like it's hard, you know what I mean, but if you are a traitor you have to lie to someone for so many weeks, you know, so I've got my suspicions though, Johnny Williams. But yeah, I did vote for Nelson, but it was a lot of people were getting on him and I could see where stuff was going wrong, but then people were sticking up for him and then you're like, oh, is it you now, you know what I mean? So but it's good fun. Yeah, I'll come back and give you an update. But if you because we have like a little meeting, if you're loud you're dead. You know what I mean? So there's no point even talking.
Well, back to the actual game, and Barnet are the visitors to Priestfield this weekend. It's another match in front of the TV cameras for the Gills following last Saturday's 2-2 draw with Crawley Town. Tomorrow's visitors were promoted at the end of last season. Here's Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth.
They've had a few good results, you know. We watched the couple of games lately. They had a great draw against MK Dons, you know, and to take points off them is always, you know, a decent result. And they went to Cambridge last week, and yeah, you know, we're very unlucky, and so we've got to respect them. We've got to make sure that we are, you know, on our game, because they've got some dangerous players. You know, the Stead is a good player in there, and a couple of the exciting wingers they've got. You know, so yeah, we've got to make sure that we are on our best game, because you know, I want to keep backing up this unbeaten run that we've, you know, started, you know, and we had a tough sort of October, but last couple of games, I think we've done well.
I think both promoted sides have looked pretty good this season. Do you think, I mean, in, generally speaking, the gap between League Two and National League is shortening?
Yeah, Oldham was one of our toughest games, you know, really was, away from there, and we came away with a win, but I said to Mickey Mellon after the game, you know, that was probably got away with that one a little bit. So yeah, it shows the standard of the National League. You know, back in my day, I played at Northwich Victoria back in 91, I think it was, and it was proper part-time, and it was non-league, you know, but now there's all sorts of professional setups. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some better setups in the non-league than there is in the league, you know, and that's saying something, because a lot of people have got decent training grounds now and decent facilities, but there's some money in the National League, and I know they're campaigning for three up and things like that because they believe they can compete. I love our pyramid. I like the way we're set up. We're the only country in the world with 92 professional teams and four tiers like we've got. And I think the system is fine how it is. But I also think that you rightly say it's not a big bridge anymore. I think the gaps probably in the leagues now are getting bigger because the money in the leagues, you know, League One to the Championship and all that gap, you know, that's a huge gap, and Championship to the Premier League, you know, again, an astronomical feat. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game without a doubt, you know, just round the corner again, similar style that we've just faced with Crawley. And yeah, we're going to have to be at it to get anything out of this one as well.
Kick-off tomorrow is at the earlier time of 12:30. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in Monday's episode of the podcast. On to cricket. And incredibly, England have a lead of 49 runs after day one of the first Ashes test in Australia. Kent Zach Crawley was out for a duck as the tourists were bowled out for just 172 in their first innings. But at the close of play, Australia have been reduced to 123 for 9. Ben Stokes took 4 Aussie wickets. And finally, in boxing, Maidstone Sam Noakes has a world title fight in Saudi Arabia this weekend. The 28-year-old takes on American Abdullah Mason in Riyadh tomorrow. Sam's held the Commonwealth lightweight title since November 2022. He's also the British and European lightweight champion. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details on everything going on in the county over the weekend. Thanks ever so much for listening. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.